Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff. With real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Fat Mascara on a Thursday.
How you doing? Thursday.
I'm Jen.
Okay. Oh, what's up? I'm Jess. How's it going?
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
So I'm excited about this episode because it signals a return to normal-ish here in New York City. Just this month, you were allowed to go and get a facial again. And our esthetician friends and our spa friends got to go back to work, which I'm happy for all of you who are getting beauty treatments because we know how good they make you feel mentally. But I'm also really, really happy to see people back at their jobs. And as like different industries come back online, just makes me really happy. So our guest is sort of like in honor of that, right?
It's a big deal. Big deal. Yes. We have Joanna Vargas here. She's one of the world's most famous estheticians. She's known for her refining and reshaping facials and body treatments. She is all about the glow. And naturally, she is very much into light therapy, which we'll be talking about shortly. She has salons in New York, as we mentioned, but she also has one in LA. You just might see an Oscar-winning actress chilling in one of those LED beds. Her celebrity client list is huge and very loyal. Joanna Vargas, welcome to Fat Mascara.
Okay. So, Joanna, you are from New Jersey, like me.
Now, yes.
I'm not gonna call you. I thought about this. I was like, I'm gonna call you a Jersey girl. But the thing is, I realize I cringe whenever I hear someone say Jersey girl. I cringe at the movie Jersey girl. Everything. I hate that expression. But I need to know about what your Jersey experience was like growing up. Like, where are you from? I think you might live in New Jersey now, right?
I do live in New Jersey now, which I thought I would never do. It's sort of like a sign of the apocalypse, really. But I love it. I mean, obviously, I've changed a lot. But growing up, I grew up in the Princeton, New Jersey area. I grew up across the street from a cornfield and played in nature all the time. But I was always obsessed with beauty products, and which made me even more stand out against my classmates because no one else seemed very interested in any of that. But I perfume, baby powders, bubble baths, lip balms, lip glosses, all of that stuff was my jam even when I was 3 or 4 years old. So that's kind of how I grew up.
Did you get that from, I'm always fascinated when like other girls were not interested in that kind of stuff. To me, that was very surprising. Like I just was like, I didn't understand that like other little girls would not, you know, be fascinated by like, you know, their mother's lipstick or the shampoo aisle. So where did you find that stuff? Like where was your access? How did you get the access?
My grandmother was really into beauty. For me personally, I have said this before, I personalize this comment because I don't know how other people feel about it, but I feel like, you know, it's a part of Latin culture. My aunts were very glamorous. They wore high heels poolside. And my grandma always had her hair done. She always had some makeup and lipstick on. And she always, all my aunts and my grandma really, they smelled delicious all the time. So it was really a part to me of culturally of who I was. And so she was sort of my entry point into that. And she would let me do her makeup for her and her hair. Mm-hmm. I had like a hot roller set. I used to set her hair. So that was really how I got into it. I mean, I also thought it was super weird that girls were not interested in that or didn't have, you know, that passion that I had. But, you know, it was just sort of something that I didn't care if anybody else wasn't interested.
Sure.
I was.
Yeah. And what was the moment that you felt, you know, obviously you were skipping a huge section of your life, but I'm curious,
that's
like,
fine.
Were you a young person when you said, I want to be an esthetician? Were you like a little girl? Or,
no.
Or were you like, you know, when did you learn that word esthetician? How did you know you wanted to be an esthetician?
The truth is I didn't know. I didn't know that it existed. I didn't know that it could be the career it's become for me at all. I went to college. I forgot all about anything beauty related and moved to New York to be a fashion photographer. But when I got here, I realized like I wasn't cut out for that life at all. There was nothing about it that I was suited for.
Wait, can I ask Joanna just quickly, what about, you said you weren't cut out for that. Like what about it made you feel that way?
I was really shy and to sell yourself to get work wasn't something that I was really comfortable with being like, you should hire me because blah, blah, blah. You know, just the freelance lifestyle.
Right.
When I was on set, I remember I would get really uncomfortable and really sick to my stomach if someone was getting yelled at, even if it wasn't me. Like I remember one time there was a photographer yelling at his first assistant who was the nicest person. And just the experience of listening to that young man getting yelled at, I was sick for him, you know, and I realized like, I can't do this. You know, I can't do this as a job. And so a friend of mine kind of suggested beauty school and I thought I would give it a try. And I gave myself a year in the industry once I graduated and I never looked back. I really fell in love with taking care of someone, having that one-on-one time with a person and really figuring out how to, you know, how to care for that person and make them feel whole again or make them feel more confident in themselves. And that's what I'm passionate about in my career today. That's why I still do facials every day and love every minute of it.
Now, I've read you called doing facials or being an esthetician an old-fashioned field when you got in it to modernize it. Let's just break that apart for a second. What is old-fashioned about being a facialist to you?
It wasn't the fact of being a facialist. I felt the field had been... So I started out in my career and I worked in different places and I felt like everyone was giving the same facial. Mm. Everybody was doing a glycolic peel and calling it an afternoon. And I had worked at several different places. I kept on moving around because I wanted to learn more and experience different sides of the business, and it all felt the same.
That's because of the education you guys got? Is that like a holdover from cosmetology school? Like, why does everybody have that, you know, cleanse, peel, moisturize, you're out, or whatever it was?
You know, I think, you know, if you read magazines, there was not a lot of innovation going on. You know, it was the 90s. I don't know. We were just, we weren't there yet. It was, you know, when I was in college, diet articles like in Cosmo and stuff were like, eat a lot of pineapple every day and then have pasta. Like, it was just like a different, it's a different era.
Science had not yet evolved.
And not to that point, right? So when I started out on my own, I had been reading about all these amazing technologies, and I had been to Europe a bunch. I had a lot of friends from Europe, and one friend in particular had a mom who would go to a salon every week and get her face and her body done with these electric currents. And I didn't know what the hell she was doing, but she was like, I hate exercising and I only drink wine. And, you know, she was very beautiful. And I was like, I want to know what that is, you know, and I want to get into that. And so that's why I wanted to start my own salon. I wanted to modernize it in the sense of bringing into the field like some of these technologies that were non-invasive. They were amazing. Even things like endermology, you know, it wasn't that common in New York City.
I'm still thinking about that lady. What was that lady doing?
She was doing microcurrent. But like, I didn't know what that was. I was like, oh my God. So like, you know, it looked crazy. You know, it looked very space age, but that really resonated with me. And I wanted to have that in New York, you know?
And you opened your own practice in 2006, right?
Yeah, I had to think about that for a minute. That's correct.
That's all right. We did our homework for you. So do you feel today, it's like what, almost 15 years later, that that's still the case, that a lot of people in this business just are doing old-fashioned stuff, or have people caught up with your way of thinking?
No, I think very much so. People have caught up and evolved. And I think, you know, think about it. When I started my practice, there was no Instagram. There was no Facebook was just starting to become a thing. And so we didn't have a way of connecting with each other worldwide and really passing information and sharing information with each other about best practices or best results. And, you know, now I feel like we're all so much more connected that, you know, if I talk about microneedling with radio frequency on Instagram, I get DMs by tons of estheticians that want to know, you know, advice on how to purchase a machine or how I do things. So, you know, things are different now. I had to, like, you know, read fashion magazines to know what was going on in France. And now I can just DM a friend or DM an acquaintance.
Right. Yeah. Do you think that makes it harder to have a point of differentiation? Like, how do you stand out from a crowd when everybody's buying the same machines now and adopting some of the principles that you started a while ago?
I mean, I think that there's always points of differentiation with the way you frame your business. I think also the way you do a treatment is going to differentiate you from somebody else, the way you train your staff, the way you handle a client, the way you, you know, talk to that client before a treatment. Those things are all unique and nobody can take that away from you. I think my point of difference has always been the way I raise everybody up in my practice. Anything that I have or any knowledge that I have, I am going to share with every single esthetician that works under me. And that certainly was not the case when I was coming up in the business. You know, it was all like, I have secrets. I'm not going to show you because you'll steal my clients.
It was like being mean was like, ooh, that's a good facial. She's mean.
Right.
You know?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
And I think, you know, what's interesting about modern times is that I'm friends with a lot of people who, you know, in the past, perhaps would have been framed as my competition. I don't look at those women as my competition. They're my good friends and they understand me in a way that probably no one else could. So
you know, when you said, you know, that you are like your point of difference, I love that, is really about your manner and the way you talk to clients. And I think that's beautiful and definitely true. But when I have talked about you on this podcast, I have to tell you that I talk about you as like the light expert, like that you are the woman who is really pioneering treatments with LED, red light, all kinds of lights and lasers. How did you get into this whole category?
Well, I mean, I think when I started this business, I started it with the intention of bringing the best of the best to my clients. When I brought LED light into my practice, people were seeing such amazing results. I remember women were asking, they were requesting that I do their body parts while I was giving them facials. So like, you know, can you do my breasts? Can you do my knees or my tummy, whatever it was? And people would actually say, I wish I had a whole bed of this. Mm-hmm. And you know, you hear that enough. You're like, well, why can't we get a whole bed of this? And I started doing research on it. And I realized why it was problematic or why it hadn't been done at that point. And so then we just tried to figure out how to do it and how to make it happen. I actually have the patent on the LED bed that's in my salon. I'm the patent holder. I engineered it. I created it. I didn't invent LED technology, but I took it to the next level for my clients. And, you know, in terms of differentiation, yeah, I find the best machines. I do my research. I read actual scientific studies to really figure out what's going to be the best for my client, because that's what I'm passionate about.
And when you say LED, let's just like break it down a little bit for our listeners that might not be super clear on what the LED means and what it does. Because I was on the phone with Jenny the other day. And I was like, I'm getting so confused. Are we talking about infrared, LED, like the blue light, red light? Like what are we talking about when we're saying LED?
So LED light is FDA approved. It's a proven technology. What it does for the body is that it increases collagen production, it reduces inflammation, it speeds the healing of the body by 300%, and in the case of blue light, it can kill bacteria on the surface or underneath the skin. With the other benefits that I just mentioned, I'm mentioning that in regards to red and near infrared light. You know, the way I explain LED is like, you know, everybody knows that there's a light spectrum and there are different colors in the spectrum of light. And so each color is actually represented by a wavelength. And there are certain wavelengths of light that create these effects in the human body. This is a studied by a scientist at the turn of the last century. It was in regards to growing plants. And some of his research included human testing. NASA took that study that this gentleman did all those years ago and paid grants to physicians to study the effects of LED light on the body. And that's when they discovered all these effects, all these positive effects without any side effects. And one really famous study happened in, I think, 1986, by this guy, Dr. Wheeler, at a children's hospital in Wisconsin. And what he discovered was kids who got LED treatments suffered less side effects of chemo than normal. And so I have an oncologist as a client, and she
was
tells
that the
me...
the red light that you're talking about, the red LED?
Okay. Yep. And anyway, this oncologist client of mine told me that LED light is used in the treatment of cancer patients all over the world.
Wow.
It doesn't treat the cancer, but it keeps the body healthier while you're getting the treatment that you need, just to be clear.
And so those LED devices, they don't emit ultraviolet or invisible light that could be harming you. It's just the visible and beneficial rays.
That's correct. But like I always encourage people to purchase devices that they know from reputable companies that they are sure that, you know, that they're okay, because there's a lot of stuff on the market. There's a lot of, you know, garbage.
Yeah. Joanna, are there any, like, you know, our listeners are probably thinking, I can't get to Joanna Vargas's spa in New York or LA. What can I do to reap the benefits of like red light therapy at home? Like, do you have any devices that you would endorse?
I would say I personally like the brand Baby Quasar.
I love the name. I'm getting one just because it's adorable sounding. Baby Quasar.
Right. So I have lots of clients, my actress clients use that one. The problem with that one is that it's sort of like a wand. So in order to get like a full face, like you're there for
you have
a
to be
while.
Active. Yeah.
The mask that I like the best is probably Dr. Dennis Gross's mask. Because I've looked into that one for clients. There are some masks out there that I don't like so much.
Okay. Okay. So, well, I appreciate you not naming names. I think that's very kind.
I'm not trying to take anyone out.
No, I like that. I think that's nice. Baby Quasar and Dr. Dennis Gross. And yeah. We've talked about this before. We had a segment where you gave us some advice. And then like I just chatted about it the other day, but you mentioned like you need to use it several times a week for it to work, right? It can't just be like, I used it on Saturday and then I use it next month. Right?
No, I mean, that's a good point. So one thing to know about LED light is that it's a non-invasive technology. But you have to invest time into it. Use it once or twice a week, even three times a week if you want to see a real result, but you have to do it on a regular basis. When I first started providing LED light sessions for my clients, I would only sell it in packages of 12. Because any less than that, and you're really not committing to what the technology can do for your skin. And what's the point? Why should I take someone's money for one treatment or two treatments when it's not really going to benefit them fully?
So this isn't like right before the red carpet kind of treatment, like an hour before and I'm going to look better. It's like it adds up over time.
If your skin is sensitized right before a red carpet, typically people have been traveling too much. They haven't been sleeping very much. Their skin is very, very stressed. And they're just going from event to event to event. Their skin is not the best. And I have people that week of like the Oscars say, I have people coming in every single day for bed lights, if possible, to calm the skin down. So it does work even the day of, if you're, you know, if you have rosacea or if you have pimples that are starting to go away, you want to do the bed light to just calm it down, or LED light in general, just to calm it down.
So can I ask you about for the body? Because I think I'm actually just starting to notice.
Because Jess has a red carpet event to go to. as if any of us
Oh
do.
My God. Oh my God. No, you know, it's like I do nothing over the summer. Like, you know, I'm like a city gal, but like also I think most of us have not done it. Well, Jen's actually been a wild adventurer this summer. She's
really?
An adventurous gal, but no, Jen, you need to talk to Jen about her wild adventure this summer.
No, I've spoken to you, Joanna, when you did a treatment on me, I knew you were like a nature kind of girl just from the photography and your in your studio. So like, she speaks my language.
So you guys can like, I don't know, hike the trails, whatever. But I've been like indoors, but in the time indoors, I've had time to study my calves while sitting down. And I noticed that there's a lot of discoloration, like called like coffee stains all over them. Just a lot of like, just, you know, spots and age spots, like the grandma spots are coming.
How old are you?
Oh, are we going to go there on FM?
I'm 50. I'll tell you that.
Get the F out of here. Are you kidding me?
I just turned
50. You and Renee Rouleau look like you're 12 and you're both in your 50s.
No, I would say
Renee is one of my SD besties. You know that, right?
I did know that. And that's... Yeah.
I'm on the floor. Now, I knew Joanna had to like not be 10 years old because she's had a successful business for this long. But I never thought about how old she was. I really thought maybe max like early 40s, and that you just started your business when you were really, really young.
No. I just turned 50 at the end of July. But you know,
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
J-Lo is 50, so, and I'm, she
no, but she looks
it, but I
better
bet,
than J-Lo.
Yeah, I bet Joanna has done her skin at some point, you know, like she's touched all the famous people, so.
I haven't done J-Lo.
Okay.
Fine. I can't take credit for any of that, but I also have never done Botox or anything, so I've never done filler, I've never done anything.
Wait, let's get back to the body, but then let's talk about why your skin looks so good. Okay.
Fine.
So my legs look, they're starting to get very spotty. I don't have a red bed or whatever, you know, the thing
that
you have.
Yeah.
What can the rest of us do to keep the body looking good? I know I can't go back in time and like not, you know, and slather myself from head to toe with SPF. I know, I understand why it's happening, but what can we do to keep our bodies looking the best they can?
Well, I mean, I'm super into dry brushing before the shower every morning to keep up your elasticity, to keep the collagen production going.
Ooh,
it's
okay.
Great for lymphatic, great for your circulation. So that's one thing that everybody can do. That's not a big investment.
No.
And that's a little bit exfoliating too. I really love doing radio frequency on the body in terms of, again, building collagen and keeping the elasticity going in the skin because...
But is that an at-home thing? I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that doesn't seem like an at-home thing for our listeners.
I mean, there are some at-home ones. I would say exfoliation, dry brushing, using sunscreen, using self-tanner to even out, you know, if you want to even out the skin tone, if you're heading for the beach, those kinds of things. Those are the easy things to do for your body.
Yeah. We talk about why Joanna looks so good. Now I'm like very angry.
She might have just given us a clue, this radio frequency. So you told us how like LED light works. How does RF treatment work? If you're not doing you don't do the kind where a needle goes into your skin, right?
I do both.
Oh, you do? Okay. I thought that that had to be done by a physician. I didn't know that.
So I have a medical director for my facility in New York. And so we're all certified and trained medical estheticians we do laser and we do radio frequency with microneedling, but some people opt to just have radio frequency on its own.
Yeah. What's that do?
Two things. It pushes back together your collagen fibers because they spread as we get older.
Doesn't and, everything.
Yeah. and it increases.
That was an image, Jen. Just like,
sorry.
No, that's so funny.
And if you do it in a series, it increases collagen production by almost 20% in the skin.
Is that like a heat damage kind of thing? Like that little frequency is going zzz and like heating up the collagen? How's that work?
It doesn't damage. It heats up the collagen, but also it's using radio waves. So the radio waves plus heat combine to create those two effects. So it increases collagen production and reorganizes your collagen. But when you do it as a microneedling treatment and then shoot the radio frequency in through all the layers of your skin, it completely remodels your collagen. It is the reason why I look the way I look at this age. Like I haven't really, we've only gotten to do facials for 2 days. So I haven't had a facial since February.
Yeah,
but
we're recording in September and New York City just allowed skincare treatments just for people who aren't aware.
Yeah, it's been 2 days of facials in New York City. So I haven't had one yet, but when I get microneedling with radio frequency, I look like I did when I was 30.
I just had an image. I used to wrap stuff at a store I worked at in like this shrinky cellophane wrap. And when you hit it with the blow dryer, it went from wrinkly to like smooth. Is that kind of what's going on with those collagen fibers?
Yeah, exactly.
I want that. Okay, got it.
And now, you can do it on the body as well as the face. So we do body treatments of that and we do it on the face as well.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. All right, so we talked about LED light and radio frequency. Let's talk about products. You have your own line, and a lot of estheticians that create their own line, it's like, okay, cool. Do we need another vitamin C serum, you know? Like, why did you create your own line? And, you know, what was missing?
Well, I mean, I think when you create your own salon, you're looking for that perfect blend of, you know, active ingredients, but, you know, natural fragrances, you know, I wanted what I wanted and I wasn't finding it anywhere. And really the category of more natural skincare wasn't around. It was all still a little bit, again, it felt old fashioned. A lot of the product lines that I was used to dealing with, or they were impossible to get because they were from Europe and you had to Federal Express them from Paris or whatever. So I wanted to create, you know, that perfect blend of nutrition for the skin. And I really just wasn't finding it in things that were available to me. And you know, I had my husband sort of cheering me on, you know, you should do your own. You could totally do it. You're so smart. You could just do it. So we found a chemist for me to work with. And my first product took me 2 years to create, which is my daily serum, which is still to this day my top-selling product worldwide. And then after that, it became a lot easier for me to create formulas. And you know, after a while, you kind of want to create your own thing. There are things you don't like about certain products, like, as you said, vitamin C serum, you know? There are things like I've used this person's and that person's and I didn't like this or this felt good, but I didn't like this about it. So you just kind of want to create what you like, you know, and you put it out there and hope that other people like it too.
You called it nutrition for your skin, which is interesting because I know your book is called Glow From Within, which is kind of the same holistic principle idea. Mm-hmm. Also just something everybody wants, a glow from within. So how do you get that glow from within? Products included or not? Like, what are a couple tips that people could take away?
You're very glowy.
Yeah. And it's not that like dewy skin I put on a bunch of highlighter glow.
No, it's very natural.
No, I don't use highlighter. I think it would be silly. But I'm not 20.
Says the lady with glowy skin.
I'm not 20 years old. I just look silly. Anyway, I So I wanted, I wrote my book, and it, something that's very important to me is to let people know that you don't have to be born with perfect skin to have it. I think that that's what people think about themselves when they look in the mirror and they see imperfections. They think, oh, my DNA is bad. And I want to sort of disabuse people from those kinds of thoughts about themselves. A lot goes into having good skin, good sleep. You know, your skin needs you to sleep 8 hours a night or close to it, you know. Your skin needs you to eat properly. And by eating properly, I mean, you know, get some protein in your diet, get some green vegetables, vegetables of different colors, some avocado or some good fats in there so that you look hydrated. You know, your skin needs you to exercise, because if you don't exercise, your lymphatic system kind of shuts down a little bit and you get puffy very easily. So those are things that you can do at home if you're not happy with what you're looking at. If you're waking up broken out, what did you eat the day before? How much sleep did you get? Did you wash your face before you went to sleep? Those things are so important, so much more important than anybody realizes. And then after that, once those things are in, we could talk about products. You know, if you're struggling with breakouts, or you're concerned with aging, using a retinol is really important before bed. Using sunscreen every day, like I mentioned before. Using a vitamin C during the day or some type of antioxidant serum is good for protecting yourself against sun damage and damage from pollution. And those are universal things.
You mentioned some habits that are good for glow. And I think we can all do the opposite and figure out what's bad for glow, like being hungover, not sleeping, and eating
exactly.
like shit.
Right.
So I'll
right.
save us that and say, are there any products we're using or you see your clients using and you're like, oh my God, I need everybody to know this is not helping your glow. Like what mm-hmm. are people doing wrong with their product usage?
I would say if we could all just put the face wipes down and walk away, that would be amazing. That's not washing your face. Like if you're wasted and you come home and you cannot stand in front of the sink, then I will let you do a face wipe. But if you are conscious and you're just tired from work or whatever, walk over to the sink and wash your face like a normal person.
And what about it? What about the face wipe do you not like?
You know, it's just, it's not fully washing your face. It's leaving residue of whatever was on your face that day. And whatever's in the face wipe is not like meant, it's not a serum. It's not meant to sit on your skin. You got to get
right.
it off.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've ever used them before, but you kind of never get fully clean.
Yeah.
You wipe and you wipe and you wipe and there's still makeup in places or still stuff on your face because they're not really cleaning. They're just spreading it around. And if someone's struggling with breakouts, using a face wipe is like the worst thing in the world. You're going to spread bacteria. You know, you're getting makeup in all your pimples, possibly if you wear makeup, and you're there's no way you're getting sunscreen off of your face with a face wipe. And so all of that is going to lead to inflammation that's going to come up in your face in the morning. So it's sort of like you want to set yourself up for success. Mm-hmm. So wash your face at the sink, rinse it off with lukewarm water.
Okay. Now I'm curious, this is, you know, when you're talking about your journey to becoming an esthetician, I thought, you know, I loved the story. I can imagine so many people listening to this and saying, you know, I feel the same way. I love beauty. This is the path that I see myself on. But right now, this is a very funny time to mirror your journey because it is becoming an esthetician now is such a this is not a climate that is friendly to this kind of work. It is a moment where touch is seen as dangerous. And look what's happened. You finally, after like 6 months, able to open your spa for facials. What would your advice be to somebody who's listening to your story and thinking, I really see myself in Joanna?
When we get our license, we've had to perform not only a written exam, but we've had to do a live exam in front of an examiner appointed by the state to demonstrate our skill, knowledge, and ability not to give a nice face massage, but to perform every part of a facial and be clean and to be sterile at all times. So if somebody's considering being in the industry, yeah, it's a tricky time, but most states are open. The only state that's not open for facials is California, Connecticut, I think, and I think that's it. Everybody else is allowed to perform facials. Wow. I will say that it has been an incredible career for me, and I think it's worth it to follow your path to be happy at work. You spend so much of your day at work, you might mm-hmm. as well be happy. And it's been wonderful to, you know, I would say if you focus on really servicing people and really figuring things out for people, you'll be endlessly happy.
It's wonderful. Okay. And then we have to know what kind of products are you using? What kind of skincare, makeup? I don't think you're a huge makeup person because all we see is your gorgeous skin, your fragrance, name it. Like, we need to know what you are all about.
Okay. So fragrance is Strangelove, which Helena Christensen is the co-creator. I just love musky scents. I don't wear perfume that often, but that's my perfume of choice. Makeup, I'm really obsessed with Ilia. They have like a foundation serum, or I forget what it's called. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. It's got skincare serum ingredients, but it has color for the skin. I'm obsessed with that. I'm wearing it right now. I use their mascara and they have like a blush stick thingy that I like.
I was thinking you had fake lashes. That's just mascara. They're not like tinted and curled and permed and whatnot.
No, dude, that's just my, no, that's too much for me. I wouldn't have time to keep up the appointments. No, it's just their mascara. Kevin Okwan eyebrow pencil. What else do I like? I'm obsessed with Dior body cream. That is like I'm obsessed with it.
What I don't know with this body cream. Like, what is it?
They have different scents. There's one called Sakura, which is cherry blossom that I really mm-hmm. love. It's just very, very hydrating. And the smell kind of stays on you without smelling up a room
okay.
the whole day. So I can wear it to work and I feel like my skin is so hydrated and dewy the whole day, which is, you know, my skin is naturally very dehydrated. So that's like the one body cream. I've tried thousands of body creams and that's the one that I always go back to. It's amazing.
So interesting. No one's ever mentioned that on the show.
Ooh, it's like a hidden secret. Do you
I'm obsessed with it. I have 3 of them in my bathroom right now because I'm so fearful of running out. Let's see. what else? I mean, obviously, I pretty much just use my own skincare. Sunscreen, I really like. Supergoop has like a translucent powder that's mm-hmm. an SPF 45, I think. And I love that. I carry it in my purse and reapply it all day long because it kind of takes the shine away, and really protects my skin. I don't get as much melasma as I usually get because when I'm using their products. Nighttime, I use my own retinol, my Supernova serum. I use that every night. Daytime, I use daily serum and rejuvenating serum. Underneath.
And what's your favorite face wipe? Just kidding. Just kidding. I'm kidding. So on that note, I want to ask you about like the very, we want to do this little speed round with you if you
okay,
don't mind.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
But the first question is about a product. And now I'm like so curious what the first grooming or beauty product you fell in love with was.
This is going to be a throwback. So Bonnie Bell had a series of lip glosses that were all like flavors of like sodas.
Of course.
That's a thumbs up for me. I had every single flavor, like Dr. Pepper and Coca-Cola and all of that. And then the first line of beauty products that I ever fell in love with as a child was called Tinkerbell. And they had perfume and cream and powder, and that I wanted, I owned every single product in that line.
Get started early. I like it. Some people are like, oh, Ruby Woo. And I'm like, four-year-olds aren't using MAC Ruby Woo. But you were like, I had beauty before there was even makeup.
The Tinkerbell had a peel-off nail polish.
Yep.
Yes.
I remember that.
That peeled off like 2 seconds later.
Yeah. That was cool.
Yeah. Okay, so who is the celebrity that you just know you'd be best friends with?
Not to sound bratty, but I do know a few celebrities. I can't think of anybody that I don't already know that I'm not friends with. Can I name the one that I am very good friends with? Does that count? Or do I have to name an aspirational person?
No.
Okay, so the person that I... I have like such a loud, funny, good time with is Gwendolyn Christie from Game of Thrones. You cannot be within a 6-block radius of my treatment room when she's in town because we sound like we're screaming all the time because we make each other laugh so much and we have so much in common and whatever. We just sound like two lunatics in the room together. So she's sort of like my...
She lived in New York, maybe she would be your best friend. There you go.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so what's your favorite indulgent snack? And be specific.
Salt and straw, salty caramel ice cream. Do you guys know what salt and straw is?
I don't. I've never heard of this brand.
What the fuck, actually? it's a Los Angeles ice cream shop, and it's called Salt and Straw, and they have several locations around LA. And if you go to the one in Venice, you will, the line is always 3 blocks long.
Mm.
And so the first time you taste it, you're like, oh, it can't be any good. I'm such a New Yorker, like dumb LA people. LA people like to make a line.
The best is here. Yeah.
They make a line for anything in Los Angeles, you know? They line up for fucking Italy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, what are you doing? Anyway, but I have to say it's like so good. And it's so good that my husband had them Federal Express pints of ice cream to me for my birthday.
Because he's so sweet.
It felt so bad that we couldn't do anything special for my 50th. So he had,
salt and straw and dry ice coming your way.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Sweet.
Yeah.
That's really sweet.
Okay, what's the song that pumps you up?
Pretty much anything by Depeche Mode, because I grew up listening to them and I'm, a fan by them, but of them so much so. But that, I guess, reflects my age. I'm sorry.
No, that's your pump-up song. It doesn't matter.
Do not apologize for your age.
Yeah,
that
whatever.
That was crazy. No.
I love them.
Okay, and then the last question on the show, we often raise a wand to our favorite products. So what do you want to raise a wand to? It doesn't have to be a product. You know, it could be like a book or show or person or whatever. But what do you want to give a shout out to right now?
Another client of mine is Mindy Kaling, who I adore deeply. And whenever I felt a little bit stressed or down in the dumps during quarantine, I would pull out, she wrote 2 books, and I would pull them out and reread them because I think she's hilarious. I binge watched both of her shows that she has. I just love her humor. It just is uplifting. And so her 2 books, if you haven't read them, I highly recommend them. They make me laugh out loud when I read them.
And this was fun. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, you guys. This was so nice to hang out.
And congrats on your reopening and your 50th birthday. And like,
thank
you. You made 50 look good.
Thank you.
Life is good for you right now. I'm happy for you.
You know, I was telling somebody earlier today that I feel like, when you're in your 30s, you're still kind of like, you're trying to make it in your career and you're like, is this okay? I'm going to be doing this. I'll be over here. And, you know, when you get to your 40s, you're kind of like starting to grow into like, I am pretty good at this. But by the time you turn 50, you're like, I'm damn good and I deserve this and I deserve to be happy and I'm going to do this and I don't care. So I'm kind of really like, you know, I feel happy with where I am and feel happy with who I am. So that's always reflected in your skin.
Thank you. That's a great parting note. Thank you.
Okay, let's raise a wand now, but let's keep that skincare vibe going. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Let's keep the skincare vibes flowing.
I'm ready. What is it? What are you raising a wand to?
All right, let's talk facial treatments. I have to raise a wand to a treatment that you guys have been asking me about. I sound like a YouTuber. A lot of you guys have been asking me about my Fraxel treatment. I mentioned I had Fraxel a couple of weeks ago. It was when I first got it done. And a little bit, I've kept you guys abreast a little bit on Instagram. But I have to say, now that the treatment is all done, I'm like, you know, it's completed. I'm fully recovered. I want to say I would recommend it. I really would recommend it. It's definitely a splurge treatment. So this is like, you know, something you really want to think long and hard about. Let me back up for a second. Fraxel is a laser treatment in office and then you bounce. It improves fine lines, tone, texture, light acne scarring.
Have you noticed all of that already?
I definitely noticed that some of my tone has improved. I'm not freckle free, and that was not the expectation or the aim, but I did have a lot of like very dark freckles and some like freckles that became like a freckle fusion. Like they all started like, coming together that, you know, I spent a lot of time at the beach last year, which is hilarious because I'm not like a big like outdoors person. But last summer, Jeff and I were at the beach almost every single weekend. And then I got pregnant last year. So that also like was
hormones.
Major discomfort. Yeah. So I was definitely super, had a lot more discoloration. So I wanted to kind of clean it up a little bit. And I definitely noticed a big difference. And I would recommend the treatment. But for me, I would say just be prepared. I do think it is painful.
You look a good 2 years younger. Maybe.
Thank you.
And you know what's funny? Dr. Frank, he wrote on your Instagram post that the collagen inducing, because it also like triggers collagen.
Oh, I haven't seen what he wrote yet.
He said, oh, just wait, because in 2 months, that's when that happens. Because it's sort of like it hit that collagen
baby.
And then it has to boost. And then the new collagen starts like coming in 2 months. And I noticed that too. I got it like maybe 6 weeks before my wedding.
Yeah.
And the tone was great right away or a week later. But then like a month after, all of a sudden I was like, whoa, what skin cream am I using different? And I realized I hadn't changed it up. It was just that like collagen coming in.
Oh, that's great. So
screw you. You're going to look so gorgeous all fall. And I'm just going to be like,
well, no one's going to see me. The lady at daycare, me behind the mask. So it's just going to be me, Jeff, and Lake. And I don't know. I don't know. You on Zoom. So I do think it was a cool treatment. And I definitely would have, if I didn't have to go back to the office, to my desk at home, I would have gotten an oral painkiller as well. I numbed for an hour.
But you still would have liked a little something.
Yeah,
something.
It was painful for me.
Well, redheads do experience more pain, and that is scientifically proven.
This is
well,
true.
Well, you look great. Raise
thank
a wand
you.
To your face, your new
yes,
face.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Frank. Thank you, our friends
raise
at Fraxel.
Raise a wand to him. Raise a wand to Fraxel.
Yeah.
Gifted. Hashtag gifted.
hashtag gifted. Yes, thank you.
Okay. Non-gifted. I'm raising a wand. I realized you raised a wand to like food like 6 weeks in a row. No, maybe not. Like three. And I was like, I got to get on this food game.
I to eat.
I know. Me too. And if you know, I like to cook and everything. I am so excited about my new subscription coffee. First of all, I love La Colombe coffee like nobody's business.
You do.
This is a company out of my hometown, Philadelphia. But it has taken over the country. If you want good coffee, I'm telling you, anywhere that serves La Colombe, it is the best coffee. It doesn't matter what blend you get. It's roasty, toasty. None of this fruitiness. I tried like a blend lately. It was like Ethiopian and it tasted like fruit. I don't want fruit in my coffee. I don't want too bitter. I want like roasty, chocolatey coffee taste, you know? So the place near me that sells La Colombe beans closed down, sadly, my local cafe. So I went on the website. La Colombe has a subscription service for their coffee. I would like to recommend the Corsica, which is my blend, which is now coming to me once a week. I get so excited when my little box of Corsica beans shows up at the house. And then Eric makes it for me with his little like AeroPress, all fancy barista at home. So raise a wand to La Colombe. If you're a coffee person and you haven't tried that brand yet, ooh-wee.
Remember you used to get it before? We used to record at a different recording studio.
Yes, and that their pastries were really good, that La Colombe too. But no, it's my favorite. So raise a wand.
Raise a wand.
Coffee and a laser facial. Who doesn't want that?
We hope you enjoyed the show.
It's your reviews and feedback that help us make the podcast even better. Head over to iTunes to rate and review us or email your thoughts to info@fatmascara.com.
We also want to answer your beauty questions and hear what products you love. To share a Raise a Wand product review or to ask a beauty question, email us at info@fatmascara.
If you send it as a voice memo file, we can even share your voice on the podcast. You can also do that by leaving us a voice message. Our phone number in the United States is 646-481-8182.
Thanks so much for listening.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.